Thank you so much for listening to the Midlife Rewired podcast. If this content is useful to you, please subscribe, rate, and share with your friends and loved ones. Welcome to the Midlife Rewired podcast. This is episode 23. I'm here today with Francesca Bonta. Francesca is a light worker, a yogi, a healer. She's a mom. And among her many disciplines and skill sets that she's developed over her 40-year career in this area, she's a yoga teacher, a yoga retreat specialist, yoga therapist, chakra therapeutics, Reiki master. She does meditation circles, aerial yoga, nutrition and wellness. Great to have you here today, Francesca.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here with you today.
Beautiful. So it's funny. I had a question for you. With all of those things that you practice and have been involved with for such a long period of time, is there one in particular that is your favorite to practice or to share with others?
Well, my healing arts are, I guess, are as eclectic as I am. And I feel that, you know, things come to us and we grow and evolve and shape depending on what we have happening in our lives. But I guess with all of that, my signature treatment is sort of my baby. It's my own unique creation. It just sort of evolved over time. And it wasn't a preconceived sort of, okay, you know, I want to study this, I want to do this, and then I want to do that. It just kind of all of a sudden popped up one day. And it's been a really interesting journey for me too. And it just really opened me up to a world that I guess I never realized I was going to be a part of.
Interesting. Sorry, with the healing then? Is that what the...
Yeah, the chakra balancing and chakra energy balancing. Work. Yeah, okay. that's sort of... But everything that I do, it all kind of overlaps and intertwines. So nothing is really like individually shared. There's always a little bit of this and a little bit of that in it. But the signature treatments that I've been doing for the longest little while have been, I guess, like my little baby come to birth.
Yes. Yeah. So I was fortunate enough to experience that myself. We did a remote energy healing a couple of days ago, and that was quite an amazing experience for me, really. But Francesca, I know that with things that are happening right now, we're all sort of being forced to quickly shift in our businesses and go online. And typically a healing experience for you, the way you delivered it, is in person using, touch at times and oils. Explain to me how the healing process works remotely, because I know that's quite common. I think it's fairly new for you. How does that work for you?
So typically speaking, there are certain elements to the healing experience that are common for everyone. So we usually use a little bit of sound bathing with the crystal bowl. I specifically use the one for the heart chakra. We use some crystals. I have 7 in particular that I usually bring into the practice. And then other times I'm called to use other stones. Then we have the essential oils, and I always choose 3 essential oils, which the choice for those oils comes up intuitively, and we explore the oil from an emotional perspective as well as the oil from a physiological perspective. The physiological side of using the oils, there's like actual science behind that. You know, there's actually concrete evidence. The emotional side is a little bit less concrete, let's say, a little bit harder to explain. But that has been a piece that's always like bang on and just so, I guess the word's so cool how it comes up and how, you know, we tap into the energy. Then, of course, we have the hands-on touch. So it's a very gentle touch. It's not like a deep tissue sort of approach. So then you've got the healing massage. So, of course, when we do this remotely, unless you have the oils that I happen to choose for you in your home, you're not going to be able to smell them. And then, of course, there isn't the hands-on touch. But the exchange of energy, so Reiki is one of my main healing modalities. And because Reiki in itself is still a little bit foreign to a lot of people, I feel that this treatment came up with this eclectic mix because people are going to bind with at least one or more of these modalities. So one person might respond more to the scent, another more to the crystals, maybe one more to the touch. It just depends on the person. So when someone is a little bit uncertain of, you know, well, what is Reiki or what is crystal healing or what is sound bathing, this mixture taps into so many different areas in their lives that they may be able to connect and feel. So when people are done their sessions, they feel very elated. They feel bigger and brighter because what we've done is cleared out these energy centers, which are the chakras, which is one of my main areas of a focus in my practice and in my teachings, that we remove this lower vibrating energy, fill it with light and love. So therefore, when you look in the mirror, you actually feel bigger, you feel brighter. It's kind of like an instant facelift. I always say, I wish I could take pictures before and after. However, I never want to do that because I never want to enter a session with an expectation. But it's just, these are some of the typical things we experience. So of course, in your session, I have done remote sessions before, but I prefer up until this point to be one-on-one with people. And because my practice was so full with the one-on-one in-person sessions, I hadn't really spent a lot of time growing my practice with remote healing. However, now the universe has presented me this opportunity to step again outside of my comfort zone and, you know, to offer things to people that maybe wouldn't have tried it otherwise.
Yeah, I think that's probably a great opportunity for anybody who's maybe a little skeptical about healing, but is in some type of practice and in some type of journey for themselves. They may not feel comfortable walking into a studio to do this, but doing it remotely, you know, maybe a great opportunity for that. From my own experience, it was interesting just listening to how you explained that. It was an amazing journey that you took me on. And you asked me about my intention, and my intention was to raise my vibration, which seems to be perfectly in line with what you do. And I got to say, personally, for me, about 5 minutes into the process, you had me hold my hands close to my body, kind of like I was holding a ball in the air, to feel where the energy was. And it was powerful. I felt like I was holding a powerful volleyball-sized bundle of energy in my hands, I guess. And I could feel energy surging through my body with my in and out breath. It was unbelievable, really.
Well, that was so lovely to hear. And again, I think that our experience together, like just having met, how we met and how instantly we bond, that's another way for people to believe in the power of energy. You know, like what, there's millions of people online right now. Why was it that you and I connected? Why was it that, you know, this interview presented itself? Like all of these are things that were there for us. We just needed to be open to receiving. So if I would have, you know, kind of crawled into a hole and thought, oh no, what am I going to do? My whole business model has collapsed. Instead, I've stayed in that open space, right? Okay, well, what can I do? What light can I see in this experience that we're having? So for the way I practice and the way I share is very authentic. You know, I never pretend that my life is perfect and I know all the answers. I'm so willing and able to, you know, be a little vulnerable publicly and to try different things and to say, I don't know. And this experience that we're going through right now, for me on a personal note, is showing how I've grown with my practice. Because me, maybe 20 years ago, I would have crawled up into that hole and not known what to do, right? But this time, at this point in my life, I'm feeling, well, you know, I've got these tools. So yes, of course, I'm getting sad, I'm frustrated, I'm confused, I'm a little stressed. Of course, we all are. But it's how do we use this state that we're in now to serve us, to bring us to a higher place? So I use that language of lifting our vibration. I know it sounds a little bit cliche, but that's really what we're doing, is we're lifting. So even if we say the word, for example, fear or sadness, I get like, my belly doesn't feel good. And then when I say the words light and love and happiness and joy, then I just, like, my heart just opens, I light up. Yes. So just trying to teach people things that are practical. And that's another thing that I guess if I was to reflect on myself and say, you know, well, what are my skills? Like, what can I do in these times more than ever to support people? And that's that really hands-on, practical, real life sort of way of approaching the energy and the healing world into the lives that we're living. Because a lot of times I've found that things are, you know, even trainings that I've done or people that I've met, I'm like, I don't understand what you're saying. Like, you're not making it practical. I don't get it. So I've tried to take all the learnings and the teachings and share with each person. And I use the language, I meet people where they're at. So you have a very advanced meditation practice. You get this stuff. Whereas someone might come completely raw, which is honestly the majority of my clients. They come in a little sheepishly, you know, I've never done anything like this before. I've never practiced yoga. I've never done, but I'm curious. And it's like, no problem. So creating that safe and sacred space for each person. So what I shared with you was specific to what you needed in that moment and where you're at. Whereas you 10 years ago, that session would have been completely different because you were at a different space. So it's always finding that that comfortable space. So I've never had anyone, you know, leave feeling scared or really confused. Everyone leaves feeling empowered. And that's another one of my big words, you know, like I love to empower people. Because we have given over so much of our power, we feel helpless. And then especially now, more than ever, right? So,
absolutely. We need that more than ever right now. And I love so many things you said there. I mean, even coming back to how we connected and how we connect with others, you know, just having that self-awareness to listen and be open to things, to potential as it sort of comes. And sometimes I just look at the way things behave throughout the universe and it's just, I know it sounds woo-woo, not to you, but it's been a huge part of my life and you know, setting intentions and having a vibration and connecting to me those things that I wish to have connected. There is a lot of suffering right now and a lot of stress and anxiety out there. And, you know, you also mentioned reaching out to people to connect where they are. And that's something that, you know, on my coaching side that I have to be always aware of as well, that I'm not talking at a level or in a place that doesn't connect with people. But, you know, so you mentioned a few things, but how are you managing this personally day to day? Do you have a set routine of things that you do each day to keep you on track?
Absolutely. I've always been conscientious of, you know, what I do in terms of what I eat, movement, who I surround myself with. So I've made extra careful choices these days to make sure that we're eating well, not giving up on, you know, that side of things. Really, I feel we are what we eat. Again, making a conscious effort to do my practice every day, whether I'm teaching or taking a class. I've also used this opportunity to reconnect with some fitness programming. For the longest time, I've only done yoga. And then now I've been actually we have a new teacher on our schedule. So again, expanding my business as well too, providing different services that I hadn't before with our new online model. So I've been taking her classes. So I'm doing things that keep me going. And I know myself, if I don't eat well and I stop moving, I will very quickly fall into a slump. I'm very blessed and fortunate that I have, you know, a very loving and supportive partner. My family and I are very, very close. My children, my sister, my mom and dad, and we're in connection all the time with my partner's family. They live in India. We're staying connected. So whereas, I mean, we're always connected. We always talk, but we're making extra sure that we're checking in with each other every day, sending little things. My mom's sending me recipes. You know, we're just doing things that are keeping that momentum of that whole family unit going. Making sure to get outside. You know, my family lives in a small town, so they have like acres and acres and acres around them so they can go outside and get peace. Here, of course, in downtown Toronto, we don't have as much space, but I'm making sure to enjoy that little bit of space that we do have around our home. We are walking, but of course, we're doing our best to practice that social distancing. You know, if we see people across the street, either they or us, on the same side of the street, they cross the street, like everyone's being very mindful. And on that note, I just wanted to mention that as I scroll through social media, occasionally I'm seeing some negative talk and some people lashing out, people that are close to me that they've had these experiences. But I don't see that. I'm only seeing all the goodness, all the people that are volunteering their time, people that are, you know, sharing food, people that are offering services for free. in my world, that's all I see. I don't see that negativity because I vibrate in that higher energy. I mean, that's not to say that something bad never happens to me and that I never get sad or cry. Like, of course, these things happen. But I call that working on our energy field, so our aura or our yoga bubble, as I often call it, as we're clearing out our chakras. It's like we have this bubble around us and we're able to bounce back quicker. So again, me 10 years ago, 5 years ago even, somebody said something awful to me, you know, it might set me off for a week. Like if I was to get, you know, a negative email, someone said something complaining, that would really hurt me and I wouldn't be able to function maybe for a week. Now, if someone was to say something, I would be, oh, well, thank you so much for trusting and feeling safe enough to express yourself. So now that I know I can support you, right? That's a completely different attitude, how I approach things. So yeah. This is why working on our energy bodies helps us. So, and I always like to point out that even though we're lifting our vibrations, it doesn't mean that my life is perfect. It doesn't mean that I don't have these adversities come my way. It's just how do I use them to continue to fuel and grow as opposed yeah. to reversing ourselves, cocooning into that ball, which, yeah, I know how easy that could be in these days and times when, you know, everyone literally on the planet, our whole lives have been turned upside down and backwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the struggle is consistent, right? And it's part of the human condition. Through these types of practices, and you know, we can develop resilience to deal with things. And I also, you know, you mentioned that some of the negative stuff out there as well, being resilient to it, of course, but also realizing too that a lot of this stuff is simply fear driven. People are mm-hmm. in that fight or flight state right now, and you know, that's when you see scarcity and all these things come up, and the toilet paper hoarding and all these types of things, mm-hmm. you know, but it's really just fear, just kind of stepping back and realizing that not everybody can really get themselves out of that state without a practice. I mean, to your point as well, I mean, having the connection for myself, the connection with my family, I train really hard physically every single day, doing whatever I can, using bricks and whatever I can find around the house. My meditation has never been more on point and deep and long as it is right now, and sharing and being service to others as well is huge. What would you suggest? So I think we're kind of fortunate right now because we have those connections and we have this practice, but there's a lot of elderly and people who are alone right now who don't maybe even have access to fresh air. Like a couple simple tips you could offer people who are at home and stuck and really stuck, like just to kind of add some light to their day.
Well, I just wanted to touch answering your question on a couple of things that you just shared about fear and about meditation. So absolutely, fear is an emotion that every single one of us is experiencing at the moment. And there is a way to deal with fear in a way that serves us. So again, you mentioned that flight or fight mode. So we are all in overdrive. Even you and I, who, you know, we are more active in trying to control that, keeping it a safe space in our bodies. It's just inevitable that's going to happen. So last week I was exploring the root chakra in my classes, and I was sharing about how we can use fear in a way to serve us. So when we talk about flight or flight mode, a lot of times the example that's given is like if you're being chased by a tiger, right? So it's almost like as if, you know, we're being chased by this virus and we're like, ah, like we're ready to, we're just in that run mode. However, what we can do is use what we're learning from science about the virus and how it's spreading, and to use this fear in a way that serves us. So back to my example of when we're walking, if we see people approaching us on the same side of the street, one of the two parties moves to the other side of the street. So I'm using my fear in a way that serves me. I'm still going right. outside for a walk. However, I'm not purposely passing by someone where they could potentially cough, sneeze, or breathe on me. So this is, there's a lot of ways to use our fear in a healthy way. Fear protects us. Fear is good. We need fear. We don't step in the middle of the 401 at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning and just decide we're going to stroll across, right? Fear keeps us safe. So when we talk about fear and we hear that language, fear mongering and blah, 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 all that stuff, then people get this sense of, oh my gosh, I'm not supposed to be afraid. Well, of course, there's a healthy element of fear. So that was one point I just wanted to let people know that our fear can protect us. We just don't want our fear to control us. We want to use it in a place to keep us balanced. And then about meditation, again, when we talk about, you know, people who are new to it, one of the things that I like to encourage people to do is to understand and explore various forms of meditation. There isn't a one size fits all. It isn't what we have that preconceived notion of, you know, like a monk sitting cross-legged in full lotus, which after all these years, I still can't do full lotus. I never will be able to. It's not my body won't allow me. Sitting with our hands in a mudra, chanting Om. That is one form of meditation. And there are people on this planet that is their calling, that is their role. The monks, you know, in the monasteries, they have chosen that path, but that's not the path for everyone. So some of the other things I do, meditate while I'm cooking, meditate in the shower, meditate while I'm walking. And you can do this for a minute, for 5 minutes, for 20 minutes, you know, wherever you'd like. And then there's a lot of guided meditations. So on my website, for example, I have some pre-recorded guided meditations, and there's a ton of stuff out there. You can Google it. You can look for it on, you know, different sources online. There are so many people out there that put this content out for free. And it's just a matter of what do you resonate with? You know, what do you need in this moment? So for me personally, I love guided meditations. I think that they're really, really easy to follow. And I tend to be a person who's probably like you and most of the people that align with us that are very, very busy in our head, being boring, lazy. Those are never words that are used to describe our personalities. So I really find that being led in a guided meditation is super helpful, especially in days like today where my mind is like all over the place. But then I find those alternate methods. So I can actually, you know, if I count up, maybe I'm meditating hours in the day, but I'm also being productive. Because for me to just sit still and do nothing, especially right now, it just isn't working. Again, think of people at home, like even in your family, right? You've got your children, your wife, everyone's at home. It may not be possible for people to be able to have a quiet space for 30 minutes to sit and just clear their mind. So knowing that there are a lot of options for you to meditate and reaching out to people. I mean, if someone blindly emails me, I'm more than happy to answer their questions. And there's a lot of people out there that are offering their services. So if you're scrolling through social media or you're Googling something online and something pops up and you resonate with it and you're not sure how to start, reach out to the creator, reach out to the person, and chances are you're going to get a really positive response back.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned with meditation, people always assume it's just sitting in silence or even with a guided meditation recording, but just informally throughout the day, just finding your breath, stopping and taking 10 breaths, even setting a notification for people who just get so caught in their heads that they get trapped into that ruminating vortex for hours on end. Just stopping to take 10 deep breaths will completely change your state right away. So, but yeah, that's a very good point as well, Francesca, is that there right now or at any time, all of the people who are teaching or serving others or sharing content in this space all are doing everything they can to help, it seems. So there's a lot of resources out there for people to find.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And on that note, though, it can be so overwhelming. I mean, there's just so much to choose from. So that's where you check in with your body and start to listen how your body feels. So, you know, let's say someone, you know, how we connected, I was like, oh, I like this person. Let me see. Let me reach out, you know, and it was a reciprocal relationship. There was that instant understanding. So I checked in with my body. There have been thousands of people over the last couple of weeks that have popped up that are new to me, but not every single one of those people stood out as someone who I wanted to, in this very moment, align myself with. It's picking and choosing and knowing that you start somewhere. And you know what? If you start something, it doesn't work, who cares? Move on to the next. You know, there's so much to explore, but I do find that people are overwhelmed right now. And again, if we go back to the social media piece, there's like 5 kajillion options out yeah. there. So just maybe limit how much time you spend exploring, or maybe it's something that, you know, you thought of 5 years ago, or you were at a retreat, or you read an article, and all of a sudden now it pops up again. Maybe now's the time to explore. So just taking things in small chunks. And I don't know about everyone else, but I know I almost have this sense of like urgency. Oh my gosh, I have to do this quick. I have to do this now. I don't want to miss the boat. And I've been self-talking, you know, just, okay, take it easy. Just sit back. Just give yourself some time to sort this out, to figure out what you're going to do, you know, how life is going to unfold. Because I think in the first week of this, we thought, okay, just 2 weeks and then life will go back to normal. So I know that even in myself, I was away when a lot of this started to break out. And I took the first week to just kind of sort of sit back. Like I wasn't totally sitting back, not doing anything, but I didn't rush. Whereas the old me would have rushed. And I feel, again, proud of myself for just being a little bit more patient with myself in how all of this is going to unfold and how I am going to grow and how I'm going to shift. And by doing this for myself personally and my business, I am therefore supporting my clients in that same manner, letting them know that, you know, we're going to take our time. We're going to do this together. We are going to find a solution that supports all of us, not just what works for me or what works for them, but what's going to work for us and how are we going to navigate through all this? Other words I love to use is ease and grace. You know, how are we going to move through this with ease and grace?
Yeah, that's a huge thing. So it's funny you say that, because before any particular practice or any particular thing on the to-do list around discipline, having that grace, giving yourself the grace right now and not feeling guilty and not judging yourself for not getting things done the way you think you need to, for some, especially for those busy people. One of my coaching clients, for example, it's those A types who are out there just crushing it all the time, who are now stuck at home. It's been an interesting challenge, but just getting that mindset, as you say, just to give yourself some grace, give yourself some peace, you know, a little self-love, self-care as a whole, just to kind of put yourself into that state will certainly help people cope with what's happening right now.
Absolutely. And I liked what you said earlier about the timer. That's also language that I've used for clients to support them. So now, because the bigger majority of us are at home more and we're around the same people day in, day out, creating some boundaries is a good idea. So, you know, for example, where I am right downtown Toronto, we don't have a lot of square footage for the two of us. And we're both, you know, working full time. And sometimes my hours are really weird and wonky, whereas my partner's hours are a little bit more set. So just having that safety within our space so that we know that we're honoring and respecting each other's time. And then also, I tend to be, you know, the one in our household that is more encouraging of a healthy eating and of movement. So I'm stepping up to the plate to, you know, encourage, okay, let's go for a walk. Let's do this stretch today. Let me, you know, give you a little massage. Let's get up and like do a few stretches every, you know, every hour or something like that, because that's my strength. So just looking at within your households, like who has what strength, because I've heard also a lot of people are lots of conflicts within the home and people are getting frustrated. We are all sensitive right now. We are all frustrated. So being mindful of the people that you're living with and doing some things that are a little fun, maybe setting, you know, 7 o'clock every Thursday night, we do games night, you know, right. Just creating a new routine, but not over structuring it. So not saying, okay, we all have to eat together at 6 o'clock every day, but, you know, kind of keeping some flexibility so that people feel like they still have a little bit of empowerment in how the day goes, but having some things where we all have to show up. Exactly. So, you know, it's one of my friends posted the other day, she made me laugh that her excitement for the week was the fact that a load of laundry needed to be done. She just couldn't wait, you know. So just having things that are a little bit more exciting in our lives than laundry, you know, within the means that we have available to us right now. And the weather is warming up. I was able to go outside today without a jacket, yay. And the sun is shining. So whenever that's happening, encouraging people to, you know, go out on your doorstep, sit on your patio. If you have a big yard, walk around. If it's time to start gardening, you know, just get out there. If you've never gardened before and you have the opportunity to do it, maybe now's the time. You know, just doing things that connect us with nature, that lift our soul vibration, you know, just things that are fun, and just laugh. Like I watch, at the best of times, I'm super sensitive. So I'm always watching comedies and things that are silly, and the dumber the better. Like if I just laugh. Yeah. And making sure that we're being mindful. Like I think it's our responsibility to stay abreast of what's happening around the world. I mean, this is a global issue. So the days of not looking at the news for, you know, a week, that can't happen right now. We need to be aware of what's going on, but limiting our time, watching lots of comedies, talking with people. Like some of my friends, we have like little silly, like ridiculous inside jokes, and we're just like sending each other little messages back and forth. We're not taking 3 hours a day to, you know, wallow in self-pity and share things. I know she's, you know, going through things similar to me. Instead of talking about it, let's just make each other laugh, you know. And then there's other people where I've been having the hearts to hearts with, and, you know, just kind of spreading out my activities during the day, but definitely making sure that I'm being silly and laughing. And I think that my partner is just about done with my silly dance moves, but I'm not.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Laughter is so important. We did a virtual birthday toast for my wife last night on Zoom.
Nice.
And it was pretty funny because I didn't really have an agenda. It was just more about seeing everybody. And then suddenly there's 43 people on the screen all looking at each other, like drinking, and everyone's talking over each other. But just that 10 minutes of chaos and seeing everybody's faces, it just lifted the spirits, you know. So it's good to connect and smile and laugh at this time for sure.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I'm actually feeling the energy of your experience. That's lovely.
Yeah. So just one more thing I wanted to talk about in the healing side, and then I want to just let everybody know how to connect with you. You mentioned in my healing about the self, I love myself, something about I love myself and how that's a difficult thing to say. And it's really interesting because I never mentioned this to you, is that I do an I love myself mantra, and I also suggest it to my clients when they're ready. And it's one of the most difficult things for someone to do is to look at themselves in the eye in the mirror and say, I love you. I love myself. I love myself. Mm-hmm. There's a book I read by Kamal Ravikant, Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It. You know, I'd heard about this before. I read that book. It's just fascinating. But it is so powerful when you actually commit to that practice to raise your energy, to really feel whole and feel good enough. What is your comment around that, and what are your thoughts around that? Because I know that's something you mentioned, and it isn't easy to do. I've had some people say to me, "Wow, man, some people just break down crying immediately when they start doing that," and so they're touching something.
So that practice was introduced to me a few years back, and it's really odd and awkward and weird to do. And whenever I feel called, because that doesn't happen with everyone, like in every session, but whenever I feel called, I'll share that in my retreats or in private sessions or in classes. A lot of times, like for example, during the month of February, I tend to do like a self-love sort of tangent. I teach in themes because I have so much to share. I try to kind of break it down into little chunks. But that play is very, very challenging. And I do think that it is incredibly important and a vital part of our growth. And I'm not sure why our society has conditioned us to shy away from loving ourselves. And a lot of times we think, well, you know, my ego's big and I think I'm better than everyone, which is so not what we're talking about at all. So little things that I do to kind of work on that I love myself is I have this ridiculous thing where I'm like, yay me. And then I clap my hands, yay me. And I do a little jump. And I've been practicing it more and more over the years. And even if, you know, like I make a nice meal, or, you know, I just like the way my hair turned out, or, you know, just really ridiculous things sometimes too. And sometimes really big things, like, you know, if I had a really incredible, powerful healing session with someone or whatever, I will audibly say, yay me. Sometimes you know, my partner will hear it. Sometimes I'll share it with friends, but a lot of times I just say it to myself. So it's another way of me saying, you know, that I love myself. And in saying that too, that doesn't mean that we stop growing. It's just that you learn to love different aspects of yourself. So there are certain areas in my life where I'm incredibly confident and willing to share and just like I'm on fire and feeling super strong. And then there are a lot of things in my life that I'm still working on, a lot of areas of growth, lots of trauma that I'm healing through. You know, I have a story as well. We all have a story. So that whole practice of self-love just invites us to be a little bit more patient, a little bit more understanding, a little bit nicer to ourselves. And that game that I play all the time is to stand outside of your body and look at yourself like your best friend, or like sometimes just as if you're looking at yourself. And then would you use the language that you use for yourself? Would you say it to anyone else? Probably not, right? And another thing that I like to say is if all the things that you speak about to yourself could be written on your hands for the world to see, would you still say them? And my answer honestly to that is no, not everything that I say to myself can be publicly shared and I'd be okay with it. But more and more over the years, I've learned to be nicer to myself. And I come from that place of authenticity. Like I know that it's challenging. So I invite people to practice that in a way, in a manner that's safe for them. So let's just say you like cooking and you make a really good meal. Every time you make a good meal that you're proud of, just say to yourself like, wow, that was great. Like I'm amazing. I love what I just created. Instead of just jumping right into, I love me, like I love myself followed by your name. And you're right. A lot of people, the person who introduced me to that practice, the first time she said it, she cried for 6 hours. I didn't have that kind of experience. You know, everyone has a different experience, but absolutely, like a lot of people have never used that language towards themselves. And sadly, a lot of people have never had that language used towards them. I'm blessed in the fact that I have an incredibly loving and supportive family. I'm so loved. I always have been so loved. But that, again, doesn't mean that I was without trauma and without pain in other areas. In my practice, you know, like we're very lovey, you know, with my clients, with everyone. It's all about, you know, I say I love you to like a lot of people. I love in different ways, right? Yeah. So I'm comfortable using the word love, whereas a lot of people that's foreign to them. So we want to make sure that if we are practicing that I love you technique, that like you and I have both said, we want to meet people where they're at.
Right.
So just being proud of the little things that you do, recognizing that these are your gifts. Like if I didn't recognize that I was great at teaching and sharing yoga and the practice of healing and balancing out our chakras, well, thousands of people whose lives I've touched would have missed out on that opportunity. So I recognize this as a calling and I've found the courage to put that forth. So my loving myself is helping a lot of other people in that way. But every single one of us has a way that in loving ourselves, we are helping others too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you for sharing that. That's great. There's some really good advice in that statement. So I think we'll close off there, Francesca. I just want to let people know that Francesca and I actually met through City Shred, their Instagram Live. We're both volunteering time at the moment, helping people stay fit, mind and body. Francesca, where else can everybody else find about more about you, about your services?
Well, business name is Karma Lifestyle, so karmalifestyle.com. I'm also on Facebook as Francesca Bonta, and I'm also on Instagram as francesca.bonta. Also on Facebook, you can find me under Karma Lifestyle with Francesca, so lots of ways to reach out. And I guess they can always reach out to you in case they can't find me those ways.
Exactly, yeah. Definitely reach out to me if you want to be introduced to Francesca or if you have any questions. Thanks so much for doing this today, Francesca, and hopefully this all ends soon. But if it doesn't, maybe we can touch base a couple months from now to see if our plan has changed at that point.
Well, we'll see. We'll just be in the present moment and see how things unfold. Brian, thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity to share time with you. Really appreciate it. And thank you for all the good work that you're doing in this world, and specifically what you're doing right now for children in terms of your sharing of meditation. I think it's so, so, so important. And I really love the fact that you're a man doing this as well, too. I think that we need more men sharing the practice of yoga and meditation, mindfulness, all of that. So thanks for everything you're doing as well.
Thank you so much.